This is a WWJ news special. I'm listening. Tonight, we are working to destigmatize talking about mental health. Back to WWJ's Jackie Page.
You are listening to WWJ News Radio 950. I'm listening. It's an Odyssey special here on WWJ News Radio 950, talking about mental health and talking about suicide, a topic that has been often stigmatized and is considered taboo. The idea of I'm listening is to raise awareness and to let people know that you are not alone and there is help out there. I'm Jackie Page, and thank you so much for joining us. Many of us are aware of the Judson Center, which is a nonprofit human service agency that provides compassionate, comprehensive services to children and families throughout Southeast Michigan. Melissa Peters is the Director of Behavioral Health Services at the Judson Center. She's joining us tonight to talk about mental health and suicide, particularly in the families and, of course, the teens that she's dealing with and children on a daily basis. First of all, tell us a little bit about what you encounter each day with the families and kids that you service.
You know, at work, at my office, we service about 1,200 to 1,500 people a year. About 50% of those in our behavioral health services are children. And so we have, unfortunately, numerous examples of how mental health and illness and suicidal ideation and attempts are impacting those youth as well as their families on a daily basis. What we see a lot with kids in particular is just, you know, really struggling with fitting in, with being accepted, or not even necessarily actually being accepted in their environment, whether that's at home or in school, but even their perceived perception of that. Of course, bullying can play into that, but it also just can be some of their own self-esteem and confidence-related things. I don't like to use the word dysfunctional very much, but it's a nice way to kind of explain when you look at households in particular that have a lot going on, whether it, you know, change of jobs, change of parents, one parent leaving, death, all of those things all play into building a child's self-esteem and the confidence in themselves that ultimately can impact their mood over time. What we also see is anxiety plays hand in hand a lot with depression. One often comes with the other. Anxiety does tend to be a little bit more common or prevalent in kids than depression even is, but it does tend to lead to some depression type symptoms. And so that is something else that we see. From an emotional perspective, what is really sad is these kiddos that experience this level of wherever it's coming from, depression or bad mood, they genuinely believe that they're not loved, that they're not worthy, that no one cares about them. And then oftentimes, whether it's because of something in the past or just from whatever reason, the experience that they have this fear of rejection that can sometimes fuel anxiety and depression type symptoms that play out in other ways in their environment too.
What is the approach, and is there an all-encompassing approach to deal with children, or is this an individualized a subject that each child is facing different circumstances, so you have to approach it differently?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. Of course, every child is different, every family is different, every situation and circumstance is different, and therefore what they have access to resource-wise and just from their own health-wise varies. But there are some common things that are important. One is just really being aware of change. So whether that's a parent or a teacher or another adult in a child's life, if you're noticing a significant change in that child, even if that change doesn't necessarily appear to be too negative, at least at the time, it's important to be aware of that. Is this usually an outgoing kid that is now not? Is this usually a kiddo that, you know, kind of sleeps 8 hours and now is sleeping 14, or the opposite, a kid that sleeps 8 hours and now only needs four, a kid that likes to eat snacks and their meals to not eating at all. So you're kind of paying attention to all of those potential changes, of course, behavioral changes, mood changes, things like that. Sometimes that's not as obvious. And then really paying attention to isolation in particular. Does somebody not want to do something that they've typically done, whether that's hang out with a best friend or play a particular sport? Those are all those are all red flags as far as looking at what a child is potentially going through. And then individually wise, it's the same thing, but just looking at it more specifically. You know, what supports did that child have? Do they have any? And if not, how do we kind of create a support system for them, whether that's family, friends, peer, or if necessary, formal, meaning sports or a group or professional help from a therapist or school social work, that sort of thing. And so that's where it could get a little bit different based on, you know, what that particular child and community has access to.
As you said, each child is different. What about the pandemic and maybe some of the mitigation measures that have caused these children to feel more isolated? Have you seen that?
Absolutely. What's interesting about the pandemic, when you actually look at the statistics from a suicide statistical stance, the news is at least at this point showing not really a huge increase in suicide specifically, especially for kind of when you're looking at the population as a whole. There are some different particular populations that that's not necessarily true for, but when you're looking at kids in general population, that statement is true. But what we are seeing is definitely a huge influx in what we call symptoms. So somebody that maybe already had the diagnosis of depression and maybe was considered, you know, pretty stable, doing okay, having some of those supports working for them, but the pandemic has certainly worsened those symptoms and kind of put them in a different place of needing a lot more support than maybe they did prior. The other thing, of course, is then seeing both kids and adults, really, but people that didn't necessarily have symptoms prior to the pandemic, or at least not significant enough to warrant treatment, and now they need treatment. And that's because of that isolation, that's because of loss of jobs, not being able to go to school, deaths in families related to the illness itself. And so all of those pieces kind of play into that increased symptomology related to depression and suicide ideation in particular. And with older kids and younger adults, there's been a huge influx in what is kind of considered like an accidental overdose or death. So a lot more substance use being seen. And then unfortunately, because of the type of substances around in our communities, a lot of them are a lot more lethal with fentanyl, things like that, that kids and young adults are not necessarily aware of. And so maybe they did not intend to end their life, but the substance use choices led to that.
If you need help or know someone who does, please call the Crisis Helpline at 800-231-1127 or the Suicide Prevention Hotline at 800-273-8255. I'm listening on WWJ continues after